Welcome. It is SV Pod live and direct from Rochester.
Ra-cha-cha.
Western New York.
Don't say upstate.
Not upstate. Come correct with your geography. That's Stanford Steve. Also with us on the grounds, introducing to the world our guy, Gordo. How do we describe Gordo, Steve?
Senior researcher with stats and info is the preferred title I was just texted.
How about?
Can you believe that?
How about bon vivant? How about man about town? How about man who's about ready to scorch your man with his inside golf takes? Gordo, how are you, pal?
Good, boys. It's an honor to be with you guys here today.
Relax with that.
Have you ever listened to SV Pod, Gordo?
No.
Last two episodes.
I'll try to get refreshed. Okay.
Yeah.
Want to get caught up to speed. What you guys should know about Gordo is that right now he doesn't have it yet, but it's my hope that by Thursday he'll have a full Freddie Mercury mustache. Will you cut everything off but the stash for Thursday per request?
Yes.
There you go.
Per tradition.
He was in the Butler cabin I don't want to get anybody in trouble here. Let me answer this question, yes or no. Do you dip?
Sometimes.
Okay. But that doesn't mean you were dipping in the Butler cabin.
No.
Who would do such a thing? But anyway, Gordo is an integral part of our show, helping provide stats and information. And how would you describe your golf as it relates to your philosophy from a wagering standpoint?
Well, it's by far the best sport to bet on, by far.
Because why?
Well, I think from a predictability standpoint, because there's no team on the other side that you have to worry about with all their metrics and all their trends, right? It's just the guy playing his own ball and the course. I think, you know, for us to like to dabble into the analytics of the world, it's a little easier to predict outcomes because you don't have an opponent that plays a role. You don't have four other guys on a team that have to play well, you know, for a basketball team or for football, right? It's 20 guys that have to play well for you to cover. It's just the one guy.
20 guys?
What? 11 on offense, 11 on defense. You throw special teams in there. 22, if you want to be exact.
I just, if you're going to talk about analytics, you just should be able to add up how many people are on a football team.
Yeah, we were rounding down.
Steve, I feel like Gordo's nervous.
Yeah, I know. Gordo, let's just get right. We walked the course today. You came out with Scott. We walked Max Homa, Justin Thomas.
Trey Mullinax.
Man, what a big dude. And
how did that end up? Did I win the three ball on Mullinax?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Homa took it deep late.
Yeah.
That was a spirited match.
Really?
And
JT lipped out a couple. Anyway, go ahead.
Gordo's, you know, come to the forefront because of his success in the golf gambling world. We listened to him. He's not afraid to fire away. He's made us known about the FRL, first round leader.
Mr. FRL.
I bought a car because of FRLs.
There you go.
I wouldn't have my car.
Would you have five last year?
Four last year and then three in a row in the summer of 2020. Werenski at the Barbasol, Harris English and somewhere. And then I bought a car.
All right, let's just start. Let's stop right there if we could. 20-second timeout. Tabbed Werenski as the FRL at Barbasol, right? Everybody
it was a sweat, dude. Michael Thompson was like right on him, and Werenski needed a 12-footer on 17 for par, and he drained it.
There you go. And now, do you still have the car?
Yes, I've got two more payments on it.
Wow.
How about that, huh? Little FRL
there you go.
To Barbasol.
Get hopefully you can make those two payments in the one after this weekend.
Please.
All right, I don't want to interrupt the stream of consciousness here from Gordo, but Gordo, me and Steve ate last night a meal at the Pittsford pub.
Yeah, excellent.
Loved it. Enjoyed the hospitality. People were lovely. And during during the dinner, we were just trading stories around the table of like just times that went really badly in Vegas. I've told them here on the pod, and I'm sitting there by myself at McCarran. I've signed my name for money I just really didn't have on the markers front. And there's just nothing worse than hearing people are just playing the slots. It's some
morbidly
obese person smoking a butt with an oxygen tank. You're like, and as I've often said, you're looking at this person going, you know what? I'd rather be you.
I'd rather be you.
No joke. So, but then we also told the stories of great triumph when we came back from down, you know, incomprehensible depths to open up the Kenneth Cole black leather bag and dump the contents out. Looky here, what do we have? And it was then that Gordo shared with us that this week was going to be an aggressive week, right?
Mm.
Fair to say aggressive?
Responsibly aggressive.
Like that. Do you have some FRLs that you have, having walked the course? I find that information only gets in the way, bogs me down. I feel like seeing it out there, then I think I know more than I actually know. Now you've walked it. You got a little intel on top of the numbers. Where are we right now as we talk on a Tuesday afternoon? What sort of information, what kind of tidbits you got for the people?
Well, the course is an absolute beast. And I mean, the finishing four holes, good luck. But yeah, I've got the whole card is actually finished. Once we got done walking, six off FRLs, five outrights, and three props. And
okay,
we're done there. So that's 14 total. We might double it all on Wednesday night. We'll see.
Where can people follow you on the Twitter machine?
I believe the handle these days is @dgord_tweets.
Okay. And you're going to hear them here on the pod. They're free on, you know, you're not charging anybody anything. Like, no. this isn't our way of introducing Gordo and then telling you got to send him a Venmo. All
right? No, there's no paywall whatsoever.
Right. No, we're not trying to gouge anybody out, but we're just trying to give them access to the information. FRLs, who you got for you? And keep in mind, going to be chilly into Thursday morning. The early wave did not get the better of the tee times this week. So are you looking in the afternoon space for your FRLs?
All six guys are in the afternoon wave. It's going to be 33 degrees on Thursday morning. So for the first seven holes, it's going to be in the 30s for these guys. Now, unless there's a frost delay, which is why sometimes you want to be a little bit careful about, you know, only setting your card because of the weather. Obviously,
that's,
you know, the
that's
weather
what I'm saying.
Change.
Like, typically the early wave has the better of it, but your fear is that the temperatures and such make the early morning not a space for the FRLs. Who you got? Give me some names.
So we got 136 off the front, Tony Finau. We got the group in front of him, Cam Young. Those are both 35-1s. And we got Xander in the group after Finau at 30-1. So those are three picks feel pretty confident about for FRL, not as confident as the other picks that we'll get to in a second here. But I mean, it's a look, I'm not going to act like I can hit every FRL. Nobody can, right? It's very random, but that's why you come in with little Harris English 80-1 FRL.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wrap it up with a little Russell Henley 90-1.
Okay.
So those are your FRL pieces.
Those now, are. Those were only five. Oh, last group of the day.
We got one more.
Okay. Last group of the day.
Can I just inject? There's no chance on God's green earth that the leader in the first round is coming out of the last group of the day. But while we're here, go ahead.
And that's exactly why you bet it. 242 off the front, 150-1, Patrick Rogers.
Patty Rogers, come on. All right.
Okay.
Hey, listen, stranger things have happened. Those are six FRLs. And from a unit, from our bankroll management perspective, what kind of units are we looking at? Like, this has got to be fractional, right?
One unit per FRL.
Okay. Now, as we move ahead, as the night wore on, and the enthusiasm grew. I believe that there's one player in particular that I believe the way I framed it was, people just need to ask themselves, how much are you comfortable winning? That's really the only question you should ask yourself when it comes to this play. What are you comfortable winning on this person? Who's that person?
So we were thinking it was going to be Rory top five, but that is not what ended up finding its way on the card. It's a Xander top 20 at minus 105, 15 now, units.
There's probably, like, I think most places limit how deep you can take a top 20. But you're saying that's the play you're most confident of is Xander top 20?
Exactly. I like the price, minus 105. You know he's going to make the cut. He's made 24 straight cuts, which is absurd. Longest active streak of any player.
Don't love laying though for a top 20. You'd like a little bit of get back. I get where you are here, but you're just saying you feel like you like
for it. Sure. But also on the card is Xander to win.
Ooh, there we go. Well, hold on. Mm. Our top 20s. Who are our top 20s besides Xander? As you know, I tend to like to just, if I bet 60 guys to finish top 20, I'll probably win like 12 or 13. I feel pretty good about it.
You are the top 20 king for
That's
sure.
That's me. That's me.
Yeah. And I got Ricky Fowler plus 275 right now at Caesars.
Pretty Ricky.
And Harris English again, and he's plus 520.
Whoa. All right.
I felt like that was the one that you really felt good about, was Harris English top 20.
He's playing really well. He plays really well on hard golf courses, mm-hmm. and he's got a good track record in majors. Was battling a little bit of an injury 18 months ago. Follow his swing coach on Instagram. Looks pretty healthy.
So there you go. Anytime you're getting a little intel following the swing coach on the gram, what more do you want for free on a podcast?
Social media. You can pick up a lot of good information from following,
sure you can.
You know,
because people's real lives are definitely what you
for
see
sure.
there.
You know, okay. I don't want to sound creepy, but even when you follow like their significant others and you see how they're spending their time off, you know, that could
stop talking about following people's wags, wives and girlfriends. This is the kind of detailed research that goes into the information you get, not just FRLs, not just top 20s. All right, you're taking some flyers to win. Who else we got?
Xander to win at 25-1, Cam Young to win at 30-1, and then Harris English to win 90-1.
Wow.
All three of those guys are in the good wave, which is huge.
Okay.
Anything else that you want to share with the folks, Gordo? Philosophy, management, any of that?
Oh, and then I'm taking
– give me the best stat you got for this tournament.
The best stat. Let me do two.
Okay.
So it's about – one's about Rahm, one's about Scheffler. John Rahm is averaging 5.5 birdies or better per round this season. 5.2 birdies and third of an eagle for 5.5, which would break Tiger's record from 2000. For the most in a round in a single season since they began tracking that stat since 1980.
2000 was a fair year in golf for Tiger. That was a 100-year flood. And you're saying Rahm's averaging more birdies and eagles per round than Tiger that year?
Correct.
Good God.
Wow.
So I find that pretty interesting. And then the Scheffler note. He's making bogey or worse on less than 10% of his holes this year. And it's on pace to break the record for the fewest bogeys per round in a season. That record also held by Tiger Woods in 2000.
So what we really learned as we take that note and digest it is that Tiger's 2000 year, he averaged the most birdies and eagles per round in history and the fewest bogeys per round in history since they began tracking it. That helps us understand why he did what he did. But
exactly.
Who's been the best player this year? Like, we were asked this in the call beforehand. I just said Rahm just because to me, and I picked Scheffler this week. They always ask us, you know, for .com, who do you like? And I just picked Scheffler. I still can't believe he played poorly last year at Southern Hills, a golf course he loves, but he did. And I just I don't know. I picked Scheffler just because why not? Because just I didn't want to say Rahm, which is stupid. Because in the call before the championship, I just said I think week in, week out, round by round, Rahm has been the guy that I just expect him to shoot 67 every round or better. I don't expect him to shoot 467s here because that would be prodigious. But I'm just, who do you think's been best this year, Gordo?
Well, it depends how you define best. It's really
isn't strokes gained.
How do you define it, Gordo? That's why you're here. You tell us your opinion.
Well, the answer is Rahm. The actual analytical way to determine who's the best is total strokes gained.
And
it's
that's
not wrong, scoring average. It is Rahm. And it's not scoring average because if you played Papalua 50 times in a season and then Scott played Winged Foot 50 times in a season, Scott might have done better relative to the field, but his scoring average is going to be way harder because it's a harder track. So strokes gained accounts for difficulty of courses and scores of the rest of the field. Rahm is one. Scheffler is two. Tony Finau is number three. But I'll say this. Scheffler, and this is probably my second favorite Scheffler stat of the week, he's finished in the top 12 in 12 straight events that he's appeared in, which is the longest streak since Tiger in 2008, 07 to 08 was the span. A dozen straight top 12s. So if you want consistency, it's probably Scheffler. If you want stealing, it's Rahm. And then the strokes gain does back up Rahm by, you know, a decent margin.
There you go. Gordo.
Does that make sense?
How good did it feel today when I introduced you to Max Homa and I've told Max about your FRL success and Max looks at you and says, are you a genius?
And then he nudges Molinax and he's like, yo, you got to meet this kid. Hey,
what's up, dude?
I gave Molinax a good number on 12.
Yeah, you did.
You did.
That was big. Gordo's done some caddying in his day. And has a great.
Didn't even need a calculator or anything. No, he
walked it off. He was within 2 yards.
Yeah.
I just needed the yardage book. Yeah.
He said it's a good number. Gave him a good number. You know what though? Let's just stay with us for the week. Fire out some FRLs and when English wins and Xander goes top 20, you just pay off the car. Go ahead, Steve.
Gordo, what's the according to the metrics, handicap, whatever it is, how you figure it out? Hardest hole on the course.
17 is the hardest hole on this course. Been the hardest hole on the property each of the last three majors it's held, 2013 and Pro 3 PGA, and then 89 US Open. It played number one all 3 years, and then 18 has been the second hardest two of those 3 years. It's the hardest two-hole finishing stretch in any PGA championship since 2000.
It's a lot of golf course. At least it seems that way walking it. It was fun to have you obviously on the walk. I don't know how much you've done of that. I've been out here for a while. Steve's been here for a few years. Steve and I are obviously going to dive into this as we continue on here. But as we give you sort of a final word here, how cool is that just with that group? Again, it's Thomas, his college teammate, Molinax from Bama, and Max. Just to see those guys and to be privy to the conversations and the work that's going on. What did you find most interesting about it?
Well, it was the vibes were immaculate, which I wasn't really sure about. I've never walked inside the ropes like I did today with you guys for three holes in a practice round. Like I've caddied in the Travelers and like as a Monday qualifier with a buddy, you know, we ran into Brendan Todd. So this was really, really cool. I didn't get to talk to the players that much, but I was talking to Joe Greiner a lot and then Trave's caddy, Jules and Bones a little bit. And, you know, Bones was just talking about how hard of a place it is to drive the ball because of the narrow landing zones. And Joe Greiner was just saying like the par threes and par fives are just too long. Like they're not scorable. but he loves, you know, the property. Just seeing those guys prepare, you know, obviously, you know, you kind of expect that they'll all kind of chip from these crazy places, but it was awesome. It was really fascinating.
We enjoyed having you along for the ride. I think that when we look back on this week, probably the only thing that will top it is when we go to the Sticky Lips juke joint. That's right here in Rochester. It was closed on Monday, which I don't know what kind of juke joint shuts down, but that one did. Hopefully before we get out of here, the juke joint will be open. But
and before I get out of here, yep. the one prop I didn't mention on the card, because it's basically an all-you-can-eat buffet here, is I'm taking every tournament matchup against Cantlay that I can find, which at the moment is Xander minus 115 at Caesars and JT minus 120 at DraftKings. But it's going to be a shopping spree over the next 24 hours to find, you know, all the tournament matchups you can get against Cantlay.
We should explain that on the way out. The bet that you and I have, I want you to list all the people you have told me will win majors before Patrick Cantlay, who's currently a top five player in the world. The list of players that will win majors, according to Gordo, before Cantlay are?
Davis Thompson is one. Yep. Aaron Wise is two. Yep. Victor Hovland, three. Mm-hmm. Sungjae Im is number four. And Steve, what's my fifth?
Patrick Cantlay, by the way, is the fourth ranked player in the world. Just in case anyone's interested.
I don't mention Hovland.
Yeah, Hovland, Wise,
Sungjae, Hoagie.
Tom Hoagie.
There we go. All right.
Get in. So those five will all win majors before Cantlay does. Cantlay will never win one.
So it's obvious that it's not his favorite player. I'm just looking up. I can't figure out. I'd like a Davis Thompson world ranking, and I don't know what that is.
Should be 142, I believe.
There you go. Okay. Hoagie's 30. None of these. I'm not saying these guys.
Wow, he's up to 83. Apologies to Davis Thompson. He's a player.
Sungjae Im is 18.
Davis Thompson is a weapon.
Mass destruction. All right. Keep that in mind. Now that's what do I get if you win? What do you get?
If I win, I am getting compliments of the Van Pelt Industries, a full new set of clubs, every single one in the bag, a new putter, four new wedges, a full set of irons, a hybrid, two woods, and a driver.
I didn't recall that, but that's fine. You've got to have like five guys win a major.
And what about when you lose?
When Cantlay wins, you do what?
Well, when Cantlay wins a BMW, I don't do anything.
No, when he wins one of the majors.
Oh, the major, right. I shave my head.
All right. Well,
and I apologize to Patrick. Was part of the bet. You'll set that up somehow. I don't have his contact info. And I like him personally. I think he's great. It's just the professionally, I don't like him. And the way that he's viewed as a top player is bothersome.
Clearly, we could see that it's a burr under the old saddle. But anyway, let's we're not shaving the head yet because he hasn't won. But let's shave up the rest of that face of yours and let's go full Mercury for Thursday. Pack a robust lipper and let's root home one of those FRLs, top 20s, or one of those outrights, ladies and gentlemen. That's our guy Gordo. Thank you for being here, pal.
Thanks for having me. I will have that card will be posted live on Tuesday evening.
Twitter handle again?
DGord_tweets.
There you go.
Give him a follow.
Feel free to chirp me if the picks suck.
Well, that's all Twitter is. It's just telling you suck. Especially gambling Twitter, because, you know, they've never lost.
Ever.
And all your picks suck. All right. That's our guy Gordo.
All right. Back to the real job. Thanks a lot for having me.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
It was a fun walk this morning, Steve. We nine bells. We're on 10T. It was JT, Homa, Mullinax. And it is one of the really fun things to do. It's part of the job description, at least from my perspective. I'm going to be on the call here Thursday morning, 7 a.m. ESPN Plus.
In the East?
In the East, Eastern. In Western New York, and all Eastern time zones. So to me, I could sit here and look at it on TV and tell you, well, that looks like this or that. Well, we go out and we walk it. And this group was great to tolerate our company and answer questions throughout. But man, what a golf course.
Yeah. What did our guy McGinnis, Johnny Max, what did he say? The greatest collection of par fours
in the world. Country. Yeah. Yeah, well, it's just...
I agree with him.
Well, the thing about them is that outside of the 14th hole, which is a drivable. I mean, I guess you could. People will. It's 320 yards. But if you're short of it, you're going to be in this rough and it's pot luck. I don't know what par four you look at and go, oh, yeah, this is a birdie hole. Now, can you make birdies? Obviously, of course you can. And depending on wind conditions and if it rains or whatever, is it going to be gettable? Somebody's liable to go low, but it's hard for me to picture double digits under par in this event winning.
I can see that.
It asks so much of you. The rough is so punishing, and the length of these holes, it's just. The fours are massive. The par three third hole, I was back there. It was Abe Anser, and it was a five wood. He hammered and he hit like three balls. Didn't hit the green with one of them. It's monstrous. There's a couple of par threes that are. I want to think not 11. Was like maybe 15. None of this matters. 15 and five are short ish. But it's just rugged, man. It's a pretty relentless course. It's not a course that has holes that you go, oh yeah, you're definitely making birdie here. They're just
no,
and it's par 70. So
yeah,
it's somebody getting to double digits seems like a lot to ask. And the weather will be again not like the Masters, but between the cold and some rain, the weather's impact. Could be relatively important here. But I think whatever the weather, I just don't think there are any conditions where it's some easy golf course.
No, not at all. And I just, I'm not a golfer. I try and understand as much as I can. I try and ask those guys some questions today, just as far as, not being able to see the green when after your first shot, how do you go about that? And they just explain how that's one of the many challenges of this course is it brings you a lot of circumstances you don't get a lot. And, talk our guy Bucci Grass, I talked to him. He played the course a couple months ago, and just talked about how he thinks, or he's excited because he thinks it really brings a challenge to these guys. And to see these guys talk about the rough, I could just, they don't like it. And when I hear these guys talk and I see them talk about it, I think they're pretty afraid of it. That's why they don't like it. So the obvious is, like you said, the skill is to avoid the rough.
Yeah,
and
that was
that's what it comes down to, because you have to be straight off the tee here or you're in serious trouble.
Yeah, I Max made an interesting point about the how the rough, it's a skill remover in the sense that there's really not a lot to be done from it other than chop out. And so that's when I said to him, so the skill then would be to avoid it. Although, for instance, on the 14th, which is the short par four, if you watch our coverage or CBS, you'll see it. The play is to just probably to bomb it down there as close as you can get. And then from that rough, again, what kind of skill can you employ to get it close and try to give yourself the best look at a three, get a birdie on that hole. But if you find the rough out here, mostly the density of it it's meant to be a penalty, and it is. Is it a full stroke? I don't know. In some cases, it absolutely will be. And we saw the cost of the rough off the tee on a number of cases. For, you know, Homa made the back nine look easy. Like he really made it look easy because he was hammering the ball into the fairway. But one time, I think Mullinax ended up in the rough, and he's probably 200 and something in. Happened to JT off on 17. Par four that was sort of hard dog leg, and he ended up stuck and had to basically punch out. So that's what's going to happen a lot out here. We're not sure about Spieth's. We saw Spieth this afternoon as we were finishing up walking nine. We had just finished walking the 18, and he and John Rahm went out to play. Spieth's got a wrist issue. I don't know how, if you have a wrist injury, you can possibly play this golf course.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I agree.
Because you're going to hit it in the rough. And when you do, if you have a bad wrist, I don't know how you can make a swing at the ball. If I'm Spieth and I feel okay, I'm going to give it a try. There's alternates. And so, I mean, you don't want to play a hole and then tap out.
Mm.
But with respect to that alternate, they're not trying to win a major to complete the Grand Slam. And that's what the PGA is for Spieth.
Yeah.
And so if he can, I'm sure he'll try. I just, again, if you got a bad wrist and you end up in this rough, I don't know how you get it out of it. I really don't. But I really like the course. I was here a long time ago when McKeel won, and I described it to somebody this way.
What year was that?
2003. That's when you go, good God.
How old are you?
Thank you. I mean, I was here then. I was working for ESPN then. Soul Patch.
Mm.
Five button suits. What's up?
Hey now.
Ladies, Pittsburgh Pub. Who's trying to come through?
Can I say something about watching those guys today?
Yeah.
You saw the bunkers are so deep.
Mm-hmm.
And how easy they make it look getting out of them. It's really gross how good those guys are out of the sand.
But can I tell you,
unbelievable to me.
I know you're our golf insider. We're going to get to some of the key words we learned today. But even though these bunkers look hard for these guys, they'd rather be in the bunkers because you can't play out of the rough.
I can't get through that in my head.
Well, it's actually for these guys that are that skilled. Those are easy shots because they. Bones was saying that the sand's really compact, which allows them to get spin, which they've got to get because these greens are super fast. So they get in the bunkers, and it's kind of like making layups for them. It is obscene how easy they make it look. What was the one key word we learned today?
I can't even say it. It begins with a U.
That's right. Undulation.
Undulation.
Steve was concerned about the wind front that was coming through and how the wind. Big wind front. Obviously, you want to hit it firm. Trajectory going to be really key around here, I would think.
Yes.
The collars, around the collars of the greens, and that's where I think we see some of the undulation. And what role is that? These are just buzzwords that you just say.
many things can affect the read and the speed? Wind.
Undulation, for sure. The undulation of the green, without question. And the firmness. This is why you're the golf insider. And then, obviously, wind fronts and wet fronts. These are the things that are all very, very key.
Beware.
It's weird, though, and it's alarming when you realize I was here that long ago. And if someone says to me, oh, what do you remember about Oak Hill? I made the analogy to somebody that's a bit, it's like a restaurant. If you went to a really good restaurant, someone says, oh, how's such and such? Oh, it's really good. Oh, what'd you get? I don't know. I just know if it was awful, I would say, oh, that place sucked, right? But if you go to a good restaurant somewhere, oh, what'd you get? Do you remember the specific order? I don't. And in this case, the restaurant has changed considerably. This golf course has undergone a gigantic restoration. And so it's
facelift.
There you go. And my defense, it's completely different than the course I saw. But really what this is about is just reminding everyone, myself included, that I'm an old shoe. I was here 20 years ago. I mean, what are we doing?
Oh, man.
But you know what? Good stuff. I was, 9 bells this morning. I was out there ready. I was on the tee.
Yeah.
Hoofing it. Thanks to the boys for the walk. They're a great company. Just a quick note to the folks yelling meatball at Matt, Max.
Spicy meatball.
But yeah. You aren't the first person to do it. Okay. So by the time, unless you're on the first hole they're on, when you give them the spicy meatball, like, hey, okay, you're probably not going to get much of a reaction, because on the leaderboard, you're just, you know, you're a little late to the party.
Mm.
And so I know, because we're talking to Max about it, how much he appreciates your support and you guys being in his corner. But a new joke, any new thing is probably more likely to get a what's up, as opposed to just being the most recent person to say the thing that the guy on the last 6 holes said.
Mm.
Just something to ponder. If you're 7 Stella's into your morning and you're thinking, hey, I'm gonna watch.
To get this one.
Watch what I'm gonna do when he hits it. I'm gonna yell mashed potatoes. Watch this. This will be awesome. But there wasn't a lot of that out here. There was one dude in a tangerine colored shirt that had a lot of cups, and I said, that dude, that guy's dangerous.
He was starting to snake.
Yeah, he was snaking early. He was having a hell of a Tuesday. But people in Rochester they're awesome. It's a great golf community, great sports. Western New York people are the best, man.
Yeah.
They know a lot of, hey, go Bills. Go Bills. Yep.
Question.
Yeah.
Last night, you mentioned we went out to dinner.
Yep.
Great meal at Pittsford Pub.
I enjoyed it.
And they had a great variety of things. I went chicken sandwich. Yep. Gordo went quesadilla. We got some wings mixed in there. Mm-hmm. There's a couple salads on the table.
Yep.
You ordered shrimp scampi. You ordering shrimp scampi last night was 200-1 if I was making odds.
It was.
And I in fact looked at the menu because I.
It was seafood scampi, Steve. There was some crab, which in retrospect, Western New York crab, like, was it really crab? But it lobster. Go ahead.
They're trying. Okay, not everybody gets the crab. Are we still in blue crab season?
Yeah, we're waiting for jumbo lump.
Yeah,
jumbo lump. Continue.
All right. Like when I go to eat with you, I love to see, because like you literally, like there was a lot of good options last night. And then at one point you said, I think I'm going to order the whole menu. And I didn't hear you order scampi. So when the lady came out with it, I'm like, no, that's wrong table. And then you raised your hand. You're like, no, I got the scampi. And then it was gone. Yeah. It was gone in, I'll say, lower number of multiple bites.
Yeah.
How are we feeling? Did it put you to, did you go right? Like, did you fall asleep after that?
I fell asleep during the Kraken. Kraken. Or as the gentleman in the bar called it. What do you want? The Kraken game? Yeah. Yeah. Give us the Kraken. Go Kraken. They never did get the Kraken game on or the Kraken game. Yeah, no, I went back to the local spot we're staying in. Got great accommodations here, and I was watching, and I passed out, and I woke up when the handshakes. So I missed. I saw the hints goal. I saw Rupe. God, I'm crazy. I saw the goal, and then I passed out, and then it was 2-1. So yeah, the pasta did a number on me. It was suggested to me it was a very light pasta. It was not.
It looked kind of soupy.
It was a little on the oilier, heavier side, but that didn't slow your boy down.
No, it did not.
I don't know what happened on that order. It was in one of those orders where I was going to get pub food, and yeah, then out of nowhere, you ever just choke on an order? Like you just, it's time to, I never do. I knew I was in trouble because I'm the guy that does this. I look, I see it, boom, that's my entree. I got an app, I got an entree, I'm good. I had indecision, and then I just said words that came out of my mouth that I don't know, I didn't know who was in charge. And then I'm like, what kind of idiot orders that? Then it came, and I hadn't eaten much food all day. And so, as we've covered through all these years, I'm not one to be around when it's disgusting. I apologize. Right? No one should see it.
Yeah.
And let's be honest. I look over, you got entire chicken bones in your face, okay? I mean, you get after it, too. I had an odd order, but I was still satisfied with the order. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, that was an odd Western New York order. Hey, listen,
I know what you're getting tonight.
Well, aren't we going to a steak joint?
Yeah.
Well, then I can't screw this up.
Filet mignon.
We'll see. They got a bone-in ribeye. It's been a while since
they do. I'm looking at the menu right now. They got a bone-in cowboy ribeye.
Okay, now see, is it like 44 ounces? Some disgusting amount of 20. Meat I don't need to eat. 20.
20, you could take that down.
Obviously, do you want to? That's the question. Do you want to eat to discomfort? Remember the very important words we heard at a luau at the Mercedes Championship back around the time Tiger was hanging that 2000 year, that historic season in 2000. Mm. When we were at this luau and the guy gave the Polynesian blessing. And then when he was done, he explained what he said was, eat until you are happy. Mm. I'm like, yeah, that's a great thing. That's a great way to look at it. Eat till you're happy. So tonight I'll eat until I'm happy. Hopefully I won't sit down and go, calamari. What?
Or
grilled cheese. I want a
calamari.
Calamari and grilled cheese. That was a Washington football player that ordered that when I was, I'm not going to identify him. I was working at Tony and Joe's in D.C. I was the world's worst waiter. And the guy came in after a game and said, can I get the calamari? And I'm like, the what? Oh, yeah. And when I brought it, I said, here's the calamari. I'm not going to correct you. You play for Washington. Hail to the Redskins.
Oh,
Lord. That's what they were called then. Don't get mad at me.
Oh, man. That is so good.
Yep, it is.
I will say you still have a friend that when he orders it, that's how he says it. And that was, what, 35 years ago?
If you've learned nothing about my friends, is that we will beat a joke to death.
Oh, man.
We'll never let go of a joke. So that's what we got. That was longer ago than I first came here when Sean McKeel won. You got a winner? You got a pick?
All the stuff that Gordon, I'm talking to the guys today. They were waiting to see what times they were all bracing that they weren't in the morning. So I do read into that stuff. I think the guys up in the Thursday morning are going to be up against it. You know, cold, the ball's not going to travel as far. I get it. But you need all the length you could get, though, on this course. I'm more rooting, Scott. Like, I really want to see one of these guys that hasn't won one win one. Like a Finau. I'm talking about the majors. A Finau, a Schauffele, a Cam Young. Like, I think those guys are ready to do it. I think this would be a great place to do it, knowing that the field is as good as it is and knowing that you have two guys at the top as Rahm and Scheffler. We went through those stats, but those guys that are right below, I mean, they're just as good. It's just a matter, you always say, can you put the 4 days together? They're capable of it. We've seen them win other tournaments. Uh-huh. They just haven't done it in a major. So those are the three guys I'm really pulling for because I'd like to see a first-time winner here.
I hear you, and the the thing about the sport, and it's been this way as long as I've been in this business covering it, is that there are always stories and or people to root for where when they break through, you feel good for them. And you know what a big deal it is to validate that you can do it. And I think more than anything, it's the belief, the knowledge and the understanding, I don't have to be perfect and play my best to win. I need to play really well, obviously. Yep. But it's understanding, oh, I didn't need to be perfect from my first swing to my last putt to win one of these things. Had a really interesting conversation with Brooks Koepka. It's something I'm sure during the coverage I'll talk about that I thought was great. It was fascinating about what he learned, what he took away from Sunday at Augusta. Mm. And it was just so interesting for a guy who's done it not once, not twice, not three, four times. He's done it. But it had been a while since he'd been in that spot.
In the mix.
And so that Sunday night, you know, as he kind of replayed what he did and what he didn't do, that just recognizing that it was a conservative approach that put him in a spot that when he needed to be aggressive, it was like it's not there. Like I need to put my foot on the gas, but I've got it floored. But that's just not where we are right now. And you know, you're face to face with a guy in Rahm who's been the best guy out there all year on tour, and you know, now you're Koepka and you finished there second twice. And I said to him, you know, I believe that's a tournament you'll win. And he said, well, yeah, I do too, because I finished second there twice. And I said, but the thing about that place is, how many times have you heard me say it, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
When you get the chance, you have to take it, because it's so freaking hard to win there. I just found it interesting for a guy who had done it and been in that spot, that being back there and being face to face with this guy, Rahm, who's become a different dude. He's a monster right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. How did my approach hurt me? And I think the recognition of that was just interesting. Wasn't beating himself up. It was more just like, what's the old cliche? You either win or you learn. And I think his takeaway was that, like, all right, I told him the Gary Williams stories about how, you know, when they got up 22 against Duke in the final four, there was almost like, oh no, knowing you're probably bound to just human nature, not be as aggressive. And now Duke's bound to play they're the ones that are playing catch up and they're totally freewheeling, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't know that Rahm was freewheeling that day, but there's a reason why so many people come from behind and win these things.
Yeah.
Which is just part of the fascinating nature of major championship golf. So I don't know. Every week we follow it, we pay attention. The majors are four chances a year when it takes sort of center stage. But does it, because you've got the Stanley Cup, we're down to four, the NBA's Western Conference playoffs championship, I should say, gets going, Denver and the Lakers. Amazing to me that the Lakers have become what they are now, when they were just, even in after the All-Star break, I just never thought they'd be this.
Mm-hmm.
All credit to that organization and that team. Denver's favored though for a reason. I don't know what it's going to take. Maybe it's going to take Denver beating this team, LeBron and the Lakers, for people to go, oh yeah, they're pretty good. Yeah, no, they're the one seed. You know, they earned that all year long. So that'll be wild to see. Boston and Miami, no one's given Miami any chance, which I'm sure is just how they like it.
Yep.
And I'm Vegas, Carolina, that's your final for the Stanley Cup.
Oh, hot take.
I think I'm 0 for picking series.
Hey. Oh, well.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine. We'll see you Thursday, 7 bells, when I've got the extra deep Barry White. Good morning here at Augusta. Not Augusta. Rochester.
Four suits? You pack four suits?
I'm on 5 days, five suits.
Come on.
Got tie.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, but that's a
game
one.
Only in Rochester. That's what they say.
Yeah, I didn't come here to lay up. I didn't come here to finish third. You know? What does that even mean? I just have suits. And I got to figure out if I'm walking on Wednesday. That's the tricky one. I didn't bring walking clothes for Wednesday.
All right.
We'll figure that out. Steve's getting his menu plan. He's got stuff he's got to go do.
I got to do more TV. Sorry, bud. I mean, I know you're not going on till tomorrow, but some people got to do tonight.
Well, there you go. So Stanford Steve's got to go do television, if you'll excuse him. Thanks to our guy, Gordo. Thank you all for being out there. Please watch and enjoy the golf if you're into it. If not, then we'll see you for SportsCenter next week. Be good. We'll see you from Rochester.